In a news update for September the 24th, 2022, on the Saturday early morning edition, hour number 3. Going into the rest of the war room and going into Alex Jones' show and friends. Right here on the Freedom Network, being rebroadcast for your convenience on both the Sirius XM and terrestrial satellite radio networks. And across FM stations where available, look for us on the website. And also you can find us on podcasting catching platforms such as Spotify.fm, Anchor.fm, Stitcher, and Pocket Cast, plus many more. Many we haven't mentioned, we're on those too, we're on all of them. And of course, you can find us in our, you can look for us by typing in our podcast name, Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. We'll be back with hour number 3.
And you're good. And don't make it complicated. Don't make it like this new, there's already like 4,000 denominations in America because the Baptists can't agree with the Lutherans, who can't agree with the Assembly of God, who can't agree with the Church of Christ, who has an issue with the, you know, you have so many of these religions. You know, the Catholics are upset with the Baptists. The Southern Baptists disagree with the Assembly of God. The Church of Christ can't get along with the... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a religious... No, I'm talking about beyond religion. I'm talking about a relationship, a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to invite him into your heart. Doesn't cost anything, but it will cost you a lot if you don't make that decision. Do it today. And again, folks, if you want to join us on the Reawaken America Tour, you can request those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. We got praise and worship from Sean Foyt. We got the preaching and teaching of the word. We've got Kennedy Jr. We got Eric Trump. We got Cash Patel. We got Jim Caviezel. So many great speakers been on the tour. Mike Lindell, General Mike Flynn, Pastor Greg Locke, Dr. Jim Meehan. It's all there. Get those tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. And again, you can name your price. And thank you for allowing me to fill in for you. Oh, and
35 vehicles, non-electric, for Joe Biden to address climate change at the UN. If that doesn't show you what frauds and liars these people are, I don't know what will. Now, let's get to the less innocent part here. Why do people think Joe Biden is a pedophile? Well, maybe it's the Ashley Biden diary where she thinks she was molested by her father, Joe, in the shower when she was young. Or maybe it's clips like this from Joe Biden. This just happened moments ago. I, folks, you try to make sense of what Joe Biden says right here.
You gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway. This woman helped me get an awful lot done, anyway.
Boy, that's awfully awkward, isn't it? Boy, that's awfully weird, isn't it? You better look at me. When we met, she was 12. I was 30. Yeah. Now, I've asked the crew, and this is how we work here, folks. We have the best crew in the business. Other people that do TV news reporting, they have their whole segments ironed out. And I said, crew, let's just surf the web and let's find all the videos and images and everything of Joe creepily groping and what many might consider assaulting women and children when they come to the White House. So that's the B-roll you see on the screen here, is Joe Biden groping little kids, inappropriately touching women and children when they visit the White House. There's our this footage. These are not isolated incidents. They happen all the time. And then we find out from his daughter that Joe would get in the shower with her, she was a young girl, and touch her inappropriately. That's in Ashley Biden's diary. So what is going on here? Now, it's easier for me to access my memory than it is for the crew to just find all these video clips that I just have in my head. Because I have a photographic memory. I know, I remember for a fact, at least 3 times when Joe Biden was running for president in the last presidential election, during his campaign, where he approached young girls and was touchy or flirty with them, or even in some instances, invited them backstage after the event. I remember in particular, I believe it was a 12-year-old girl. He goes, how old are you? She said, oh, I'm 12. He goes, why don't you come see me backstage afterwards? And so the crew is just pulling all of this up in the spur of the moment here after the recent Biden video just dropped. Yeah, here he is touching a young girl during a political event. I mean, folks, there's something really, really creepy happening here. Here he is taking a young girl backstage with him after a political event. I mean, literally, folks, I mean, you can see it on the screen. I'm not making this up. This is happening. Look at him. He grabs a little girl's arm and takes her backstage. Gets up close to her, whispers in her ear, touches her face, grabs her. You know, it'd be one thing if there wasn't so much background video and photo evidence of Joe being inappropriate the way he touches children and women. But now we have Ashley Biden's diary. Now we have Secret Service whistleblowers saying that we had to cancel parties because the Bidens would show up and touch our wives. We know about Hunter Biden and his obvious sex addiction, porn addiction, sleeping with his brother's wife, not paying child support to the stripper he knocked up. This is a disgusting, despicable family, folks.
Gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway. This woman helped me get an awful lot done. Anyway.
I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I tell you what, look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady in her legs crossed.
I tell you what, honey, what I'm going to do, if you give me a dress, I'm going to write you a longer answer and tell you the exact things I would do, okay? Okay? Promise? I'll bet you're as bright as you're good looking, I tell you. I don't want you to have to stand all alone, but it's up to you. By the way, he gave me permission to touch him, all right? He gave me permission to touch him, all right?
Got to say hi to me.
Thank you. Maggie, do you
want to
come over here?
Come on, Maggie. Make me look better.
Okay, Steve. Thank you.
You're a good girl.
Thank you.
A long way. She was 12, I was 30.
She was 12, I was 30. She was 12, I was 30.
But anyway.
You've been encouraging your audience to give you money, right?
Yes, like media, I raise money to stay on air.
And the most recent website you've been encouraging your audience to donate at is 1776coin.com, right?
Well, it's where you can buy silver coins.
Yeah. 1776coin.com is the website, right?
Yes.
It's the fourth coin that we've released in the last year, and I believe the most powerful, the man in the...
We actually started making these coins, those coins, 6 months ago.
But what you're running right now, this week, is you've been talking about this trial. After you said it, you're setting it to 1776coin.com, right?
Yes, that's where we sell the collectible coins for people that want to keep the show on the air.
Okay. And did you tell Brittany Paz about that revenue platform?
We advertise it on air, yeah.
Okay.
And of course, all podcasting platforms, such as Anchor.fm, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, and many more. You can find us at Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. That's how you write it, folks. We'll be back with hour number 4. Stay tuned. What happened?
Through their deception. So before the jury is allowed in, she clearly reminds Jones how he's not allowed to defend himself.
There's certain areas that your attorney is well aware of, as is opposing counsel, that are not going to be asked about and cannot be testified about. And I'm more than happy to go over, it's a very short list, and I'm more than happy to go over it with you if you want me to, but if you don't want me to, that's fine too. I'm simply trying to avoid any issues in front of the jury. I don't want to have any unpleasantness. There's no other way to put it. So that's why I'm willing to do it if you want me to do it, but I don't have to do it.
Well, please do, Judge, because
okay, that's enough.
My lawyers, they told me about
that. The yes was enough. That's all I need to know. And the lawyers know not to ask you these questions, so the only way there would be a problem is if you gave a non-responsive answer.
Yeah.
So if I just go over it briefly, I don't think we're going to have any problem at all. So the lawyers are not going to ask you about, nor can you offer any testimony about, the plaintiff's settlements with the former defendants, Wolfgang Halbig and Corey Sklenka, the Soto versus Bushmaster case, and who the plaintiff did not sue. So I understand you may not agree with those rulings, and this is just a yes or a no answer. Do you understand that you may not testify on those topics?
Yes.
Okay. So there can be no testimony, and there's not going to be any questions, obviously, regarding the maximum amount of Sandy Hook coverage on your shows or the percentage or proportion of Sandy Hook coverage. Yes or no? Do you understand that that's not testimony that you can offer? You're not going to be asked about it, and you can't offer it.
Yes.
Good. Okay. You may not offer testimony, and you're not going to be asked about whether you substantially complied or you produced everything or that you challenged the basis for the default ruling. All of these issues may be the basis for an appeal, but they're not going to be asked, nor can you offer that testimony. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Finally, the First Amendment is not an issue in this hearing in damages. No one is going to ask you about the First Amendment. This is not the appropriate forum for you to offer that testimony. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes.
Is there anything that prevents you from understanding what we just talked about?
I understand, as long as they don't ask those questions.
Right. They're not going to ask you those questions. If they did, I mean, they're officers of the court and they understand the rulings, so they're not going to ask you those questions.
After attacking free speech systems' all-American business model, the plaintiffs then focus on a single video that went viral 10 years ago featuring Robbie Parker. This video was played on InfoWars because it was a viral video, which alone made it newsworthy. Once the plaintiffs established that InfoWars played this video, they dramatically introduced an emotional Robbie Parker in the courtroom. The cameras move in for the close-up, shaking with emotion by the mere presence of Alex Jones for playing a viral video. As far as Alex Jones's crimes, it's not clear what their claim is, but their argument is clear. According to the plaintiffs, alternative media should not exist and should not be allowed to report the news. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Here we go, guys. We'll be right back in just T-minus a few seconds.
Billion starving to death, massive power outages. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see this happen unless there's a mass awakening. They plan to bring down the world population massively by 2030. So we'll be talking about that more. Owen Schroyer's taking over here in a few minutes, and then I will be back in Austin tonight. I'm here at this giant out-of-control show trial that is just, again, part and parcel of the weaponization of every system globally that the New World Order controls against the people.
Patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
It's Friday, September 23rd, 2022. I am still in Connecticut this morning, but I will be back tonight, and I'll be doing an emergency 3-hour broadcast this Saturday and the regular Sunday show, 4 to 8 p.m. because Russia has now gone from calling up 300,000 extra troops, a partial mobilization in just a week, to a full national mobilization, first time since World War II. Total mobilization, a national draft. Putin's now moving his frontline, highest quality troops and weapon systems and Class A weapons up to the border with Ukraine and is announcing a massive escalation. He's set to give a speech today, and it's expected to be basically a declaration of open war. And he's going to tell the Russian people that they are at war with NATO and the United States. So we are now officially going into a war with Russia. Congratulations, Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, and of course, the main architect, George Soros, the same guy, getting thousands of DAs elected to carry out the destruction of our country and the massive explosion of crime. Russia's enemies are our enemies. That said, I did not support Putin going into Ukraine. Said it was a trap. I'm an American. I love America. But the same globalist forces destabilizing us in Europe and Australia and Latin America and Africa and Asia are doing this to collapse the industrial society. There are hundreds of millions of people on the verge of starvation, more than 60 million in the last 2.5 years under globalist lockdowns have starved to death. We're living in World War III. A modern great reset attack. And that's why all the old rules are over. That's why there's massive surveillance in America by corporations and government. That's why there's massive censorship. That's why the lawfare has gone to the next level, because people are getting in line with the globalists and the establishment at every level. And not just Democrats. Ted Cruz is suddenly supporting all of these policies and supporting the merger of big tech with big media to create open cartels of censorship and control. So you're gonna find out who's good. You're gonna find out who's bad. As for me, when the going gets tough, I try to get as tough as I can and not back down an inch. As I've said thousands of times, I will never give up. I will never give in, but I could give out. And we're going to come back and cover all this huge military news. But I'm going to tell viewers and listeners again, they are using these show trials to not just try to destroy InfoWars, but drive a wedge between us and our audience with incredible truths, half-truths, and lies. That's what they do. They mix truth with a whole bunch of lies, maybe 5% of it's true, and then they sit there and try to drive a wedge between me and my audience, between all of us, to try to destroy us. They admit, yes, Alex Jones hates the globalists. Yes, Alex Jones hates the New World Order, which is true. Then they act like that's criminal or somehow racist or somehow terrorist. Then they add it to all these other ridiculous lies that we have hundreds of millions of dollars and that InfoWars is flushing cash so that you don't support your own voice of freedom. InfoWars is seen by the globalists as the main beacon of truth and justice, and we were made for this time. 28 years of hard work, your support, your prayer to bring us to this point so we can tell these giant truths to the entire populace in the world that wants to know the truth. We're reaching tens of millions of new people a week, and I want to thank you, the hardcore listeners, who over the years have backed us. But I'm telling you now, it is beyond essential, with everything that's happening in the world, this design collapse and the great reset, that you continue to support the broadcast, because now is the time. Now is do or die. Look at how your support has made The Great Reset and the War for the World, the number one book in the world, off and on the last 3 weeks. That's incredible. That talking point is now going out to leaders and going out to other key decision makers everywhere to further expand the huge awakening to the globalist agenda, which is now expanding at a very rapid pace all over the planet. We are identifying the enemy. We're identifying who is behind the attacks. We are identifying what their agenda is and how to stop them. So please, all of you watching, I want to thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage everybody to not wait and to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the limited edition copies of The Great Reset and the War for the World that are signed. And yes, you can buy the book at InfoWarsStore.com for the regular price, but this is a fundraiser. That's why it's $99 to give us the funds to operate. Just like NPR will sell a coffee cup for $50 or a t-shirt for $100. You know the shirt didn't cost that. The markup is there as a fundraiser. So get the Teddy Roosevelt coin at 1776coin.com.
People that went to that puppet courthouse in Connecticut with InfoWars stickers up everywhere, we commend you.
So we are this puppet courthouse, yeah. Yes, that's what you're referring to?
It's not mostly a peaceful protest where they burned down $2 billion, but that's good. But the conservatives put up stickers and we're bad. I know we all need to go to prison.
Why don't we talk about cryptocurrency?
Okay.
Because one of the ways that you encourage your audience to give you money is in cryptocurrency donations, right?
Yes.
And you have a page on your website that's just for cryptocurrency donations, right?
InfoWars.com/crypto.
Is that a little advertisement just there?
Well, we're fighting the deep state. We need money.
All right. This is it. Give crypto. Fund InfoWars. Sponsor us with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
Oh, right?
That will end up as a clip on your show tonight. Okay. Your advertisement for your cryptocurrency page.
You know, I mean, people want to keep us in the fight. So I hope whoever the big whales are that give us money before keep doing it.
We'll just keep minting money as you're in this courtroom.
Objection.
All right, let's move on.
And people care about the First Amendment. Thank you for joining us on this special Friday edition. I will be back in Texas tonight, and I will be doing a 3-hour emergency broadcast live from noon to 3 p.m. Central that will be commercial free. And by commercial free, we'll still play some promos and take a few breaks, but it's going to be an internet only show streamed out at infowars.com/show, and some TV and radio stations will obviously pick it up. But tomorrow, noon Central, we are going to do a deep analysis of all the different factors, how the globalists on record are coordinating more than a dozen different systems to bring down civilization. And through that process, they will pose as the saviors and come out on the other side with a global police state technocracy designed to carry out the forced depopulation that you've already seen accelerate with the mass starvation, the lockdowns, and the forced injections. But that was just the beta salvo. We're now going into full operational mode. Massive wars, collapsing borders, billions starving to death, massive power outages. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see this happen unless there's a mass awakening. They plan to bring down the world population massively by 2030. So we'll be talking about that more. Owen Schroyer's taking over here in a few minutes, and then I will be back in Austin tonight. I'm here at this giant out-of-control show trial that is just, again, part and parcel of the weaponization of every system globally that the New World Order controls against the people. So let's talk about what's going on. Just last week, Putin called up 300,000 troops. That's their main reserve army. Now they announced conscription today, total mobilization. Total mobilization, first time since World War II. Total official mobilization. When the Soviets launched wars like Afghanistan and places, they would keep it quasi-secret. Now they're going to be completely public. Putin is set to announce in the next 48 hours, either he's saying tonight or tomorrow, that Russia is officially at war with NATO and the United States. They're going to cut off diplomatic ties. They're going to escalate into full war mode, which the globalists knew would happen. They've been planning. And so, in world history, this has never happened before. This is bigger than what took place in the early 1960s with the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the U.S. put medium-range and short-range missiles in Turkey, so the Russians put medium and intermediate-range missiles into Cuba. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you look around you with the COVID releases and the lockdowns, and they're talking about SEGs and global taxes and world IDs, this is all part of the worldwide destabilization with Klaus Schwab and the New World Order saying you will own nothing and you will have nothing. Putin again has announced that he's going to announce total mobilization. They are reportedly now moving their Class A weapons that they have not used yet up to the border with Ukraine. They're moving in bombers. They're moving in fighter jets. They're moving in all their weapons. And yes, they're going to get slaughtered again, because they've walked right into a trap, and it doesn't matter. The Russians are now going to double down, triple down, because this isn't Afghanistan. They see this as their country, like if America got invaded, because all of eastern Ukraine has always been part of Russia. That's where it was born. And so most of Russia's wars have actually been fought over Ukraine and Crimea. Yep. They fought more than 15 wars in the last 1,000 years, conservatively, with the Huns and the Muslims and with the Europeans and everybody else over that zone. And so this is a Russian civil war, a Slavic civil war. And the president of Serbia just said 2 days ago that he talked to Putin and he talked to NATO leaders, and they said, no, within 2 months, a full war, full war. And then when the Russians get their ass kicked again, because they're up against weapons that are 30 years more advanced than theirs, they are going to probably use tactical nuclear weapons or chemical weapons. And you're going to see nuclear reactors get blown up in Europe. You're going to see terrorism. You're going to see power outages. We'll probably actually see real cyber attacks back and forth. And so this is what the neoliberal crazy world order has done and is doing. Meanwhile, universities in the UK, Canada, the US, Germany, all over the Western world are announcing that, oh, all these migrants we brought in, we're going to fire the white indigenous employees and we're going to hire people that are from outside. The German Green government is now announcing an initiative to fire a third of indigenous Germans and hire outside people. Again, to pit the outside groups against the Germans. This is all a divide and conquer strategy. As they collapse the third world, starve them to death, bring them in, flood them, brainwash the first generation, and then put them in the positions of managerial control and have another divide and conquer strategy. I mean, this is the epitome of race-based politics. This is Nazism, but just a different flavor of it where you move the pieces around. This is absolutely the most criminal activity you can imagine. That's just one more of the facets. Shipping in the fentanyl, the drag queen pedophile story times, all the lawfare, the weaponized judiciary, people being arrested in the UK for saying they don't support 7-year-olds having their genitals cut off. They come and arrest people at their houses, they criticize it on Facebook. You've seen the video. That's all coming here. Everything you see in Australia, everything you see in the UK, everything you see in Germany is being duplicated here in the United States. This is a world government takeover plan. And the big think tanks and the big universities tell you what the plan is. And that's what my book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, explains in just 300-something pages. Their entire battle plan, bibliographed, where they say it, where they do it. That's why I say it's a Death Star blueprint of the enemy operation. This is everything. And the great news is the mainline Republican Party now is adopting an anti-Great Reset, anti-New World Order. They're now recognizing that we were right about everything. But I wasn't right about it all. I have the enemy playbook. Damn it. We know what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to be back in Austin tonight. 3-hour special show tomorrow, on Sunday as well. We are in maximum emergency mode. I need everybody you know to tune into the broadcast, to share the links to Infowars.com/show. The censorship is intensifying. We're now getting reports on iPhones, Androids. When you try to send links to Infowars.com or band.video, it won't let you do it the first few times. Pavlovianly, they don't want to get caught admitting they're blocking text, which has actually come out in the news. This is an information war. And please, we need money. The Democrat Party lawsuits and all these show trials keep saying, I have all this money and I'm hurting my listeners and I'm scamming you, because they're the ones scamming all of America, bringing in tyranny, and they're desperately afraid of grassroots people funding operations. Just like they're coming after President Trump and his fundraising, saying it's illegal for him to fundraise. They're trying to cut the money off to the American resistance, and there isn't anywhere where the resistance is stronger and more over the target with the actual enemy battle plans than InfoWars. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get the immune system trifecta pack. And we are back here on this Friday edition of the broadcast. I take those first two segments earlier this morning. I went into court and my lawyers decided that we destroyed the other side so bad yesterday, and that's the consensus even in mainstream media, that there was no reason for them to go back and cross-examine me. Next week is when my lawyer, Norm Pattis, gets to put on our case. Even though we're really constrained on what we can say and do, we'll be able to basically prove everything they've already opened the door for is a lie. So we'll be back in Connecticut next Wednesday and Thursday to testify, and then we'll get their verdict very soon in the next few days after that. So, again, this is a historic moment because they have completely weaponized the judiciary. They're trying to shut down any opposition, but despite that, it's blowing up in their face. I'm not making predictions that the jury, told by a judge I'm guilty, will come up with some big number, but at the end of the day, it's a Pyrrhic victory because you can't get blood from a stone. Now, I want to hit some really big news right now, and then in the next segment, I'm going to get briefly, as before Owen takes back over, into what's happening with the whole Sandy Hook situation that I know the viewers and listeners are completely sick of. You're worried about open borders, inflation, exploding crime, pedophiles out in the open, just all of the insane things that are happening. And we'll also get more into the Russia situation, which I'm going to hit here first in a moment. But please just understand, ladies and gentlemen, that nobody's been more accurate in exposing the New World Order than this show with our incredible guests, our incredible callers, and our incredible crew. And the corporate media is continuing to put the lie out that we have all this extra money and that we are doing great and that you don't need to support InfoWars. That is a lie. And we have never been closer to being shut down than we are right now. Thank God, 5 months ago, a Bitcoin donor made a huge donation. By the time I sold it, it had gone way down in value, but I still do believe in cryptocurrency as an alternative to what's happening. And that was the exact amount by the time we sold it to pay off all these back bills, and we would have had no money left over. Then we used a couple million of it
to buy product in the future to be able to then have that product to continue to operate. And finally, almost all that product has come in, and it's a godsend. But we need listeners to get these great products that you already need. Take the Immunity Trifecta Immunity Supercharger Pack. I mean, folks, DNA Force Plus is super high quality.
We'll be right back, folks.
CoQ10.
There is a bid on your head.
That's right. Rob Dew has a beanie on that has a bird on it, a bird symbol. That's from Omaha, the place called, what is it, Early Birds, a breakfast restaurant. Can I get a kiss and finish up real quick? I promise I'm going to come play hide and seek with you in 3 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Lady sweetheart, now, that said, ladies and gentlemen, Russia has totally mobilized. Has a national draft, yes?
Are those poisonous mushrooms?
I don't know what kind of mushrooms those are, but you never want to eat mushrooms if you don't know what they are. Only want to eat mushrooms if you're with an expert out in the field who has, you know, research on it that does it, or from a store, okay? Because mushrooms can kill you, like you said, if they're poisonous. How much time do we have left in the segment?
We're at 8:30.
Okay, so I got to end this segment. I'm going to come back and talk about the Russian situation more on the other side. Infowars.com tomorrow's news today. And we are back. Thank you for joining us here on the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer is loaded for bear, about to explode out of the gates with massive breaking news and information. But I'm about to get on a plane and come back to Austin, Texas. Again, a special emergency live broadcast noon tomorrow for 3 hours with analysis on the Russia situation. In my 28 years on air, this tops it. And as I've said many times, first few years I was on air, I'd say, oh, this is our biggest story ever, or this is our biggest story ever, maybe once a year. But now the last few years, every few weeks, I'm like, this is our biggest story ever, because everything's escalating. We're moving towards this incredible quickening. But CNBC has got the headline that tells it all. Putin's incredibly dangerous nuclear threat raises the risk of an unprecedented disaster. The unprecedented disaster is already here with 2+ years of lockdowns in the third world, killing over 60 million people with starvation, putting hundreds of millions on the streets, marching in UN-driven caravans towards Europe and the United States and Canada. Tens of millions sick, millions dead from the shots. And now the West goes over, overthrows a pro-Russian government in Ukraine, sends in U.S. weapons and troops the last few years, pushes up to the Russian border in ethnic cleansing of Russians. The Russians then take the bait, which was terrible, come in and get their ass kicked because there's U.S. and NATO forces in the Ukrainians with high-tech weapons, up to $70 million of them. And now the Russians have national draft, 300,000 troops going in, and all these aircraft and bombers getting ready for major bombardment of Ukrainian cities. So this is the United States in a war with Russia. And it goes right into the Great Reset and right into their entire operation. While our cities collapse, homeless everywhere, feces, needles, 100,000+ dying of fentanyl a year. This is total bombardment. And we must remove the Democrats. We must remove the deep state. It must stop. And Putin should pull out of Ukraine. But there should be a armistice. There should be a ceasefire. There should be an international delegation with, I don't trust the UN, but some type of multinational peacekeepers that are in those border areas where the Russians sent in their troops for their police action. Because the Russian police action to kill out push out the Azov battalions has failed and is failing. And so Putin knows that, so he's escalated. And again, that's the doctrine. Then the West escalates, then he escalates. There's not much more escalation that can happen here. And then we look at what's happening in America and the rest of the world with inflation. Things are absolutely falling apart. Think about our children. Think about the future. Think about what we're all being maneuvered into right now. Here are some of the other just insane headlines on Infowars.com, ladies and gentlemen, that everybody should really be aware of and understand. And I know Owen's about to take over and cover these, and I'm sorry, it's so windy out here. But the left is celebrating the murder where the guy ran the guy over with a truck because he was a Trump supporter. Turns out he was chased down by a mob and killed. The left celebrating that. We've got all these other insane articles. PayPal banned anti-pedo group, with pro-pedo group remains on the platform everywhere. The main system, the big corporations are promoting pedophilia. They are promoting just absolute complete evil. This is the religion of the system. And then this incredibly important article, I'll hand the baton to Owen. Analysis, globalists now pushing
deglobalization to usher in the Great Reset. What did I tell you 1,000+ times on air from their own battle plans decades ago they would do? Get everybody globalized. We're not, any nation on earth is not independent from the other. Where we're all dependent on each other, with global corporations controlling all the key resources and all the transportation and all the energy. Then they pull the rug out from under everybody, cut off the resources using a plague that they said they would do in Operation Lockstep in 2011. Then things collapse. Then the third world disintegrates. They flood us. We collapse. And then there's just decades of depopulation and war. And then the globalists have a few city-state systems in every continent that are armored with walls and high-tech control that the elites live in, like Hunger Games. That's based on their real plans. And then we live outside of those systems. That's in my book, The Great Reset and the War for the World. I explain that once they collapse things, they will live in their high-tech cities with all the resources, all the control. We will live outside, and all there will be is like robots and basic slave systems for the humans to even survive. That's in my film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, free online, May 2007. How did I know that then? Because it's the plan, and now they've announced it. They say the age of globalization is over. Globalization means you can fly here, go there, eat kiwis, you know, from New Zealand 3 days after they're picked in Texas. And that's a citizen of the world and is open and fun and great. And I'm not against that. I want resources to travel and us to be an open, free world. They want a global corporate system that controls the world to then cut the world off and isolate us and ban air travel for the average person, or owning a car for the average person, or air conditioners for the average person because it has a bad carbon footprint. It's called feudalism. And feudalism is the most ancient form of government. It's the most popular form of government in history, and by the most popular, not with the people, but the most common form, because elites set it up to make you poor, to make you controllable, so they can dominate and run your life. Cut off your resources to get full control to carry out depopulation. That's what we're fighting. That's why this is the most important broadcast in the world, because we are the top experts. And I'm not bragging. God put us here. You put us here. You're here for a reason. So please realize how critical this time is. God bless. Owen Schroyer takes over.
All right. Thank you, Alex. And I will finish up this segment covering some of the news, but I just wanted to let you know that we've got in-studio guests coming up today, Dr. Judy Mikovits and Mickey Willis and Patrick Byrne coming up. That's going to be in the 1 o'clock Central hour, the third hour today of the Alex Jones Show. In the meantime, till then, we're going to be covering all the latest breaking news. Alex just mentioned this story. We have it at Infowars.com. PayPal banned anti-pedophile group while pro-pedophile group remains on platform. So gays against groomers, you're out. Oh, I thought the left loved gays. Oh, no, 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 only when they're part of the cult. And then they had the account that we stand with MAPS, which is the minor attracted individual, also known as a pedophile. And they're allowed to stay on PayPal. So you say, I like pedophiles, PayPal keeps you around. You say, we don't like pedophiles, PayPal bans you. And really, that's just an extension of the discrimination that happens against conservatives. And you've just now reached the point where the left liberals are now pro-pedophile. And so conservatives have to posture themselves as anti-pedophile. You'd think everybody would be anti-pedophile, not your modern day liberals. So they exist on PayPal. They also, PayPal has shut account of group who fought to keep schools open during the pandemic. That was in the UK. Us for Them, a UK parents group that campaigned to keep schools open during the pandemic, has been banned from PayPal. So it's really just political. Conservatives aren't allowed to operate. Liberals are. And it just so happens now in the year 2022 that part of the liberal political paradigm and ideology is pro-pedophile. Pretty incredible to think that's the case, but here we are. Then there's DeSantis, who's looking better and better every day. And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater with Trump, but, you know, we can give Trump the credit where credit is due. We can say, here's the faults. That's all fine and good. He's obviously still being politically persecuted by the deep state, but more and more, it looks like DeSantis might be the one moving forward. Democrat Palm Beach County Commissioner endorses Ron DeSantis in re-election bid. So when you have Democrats endorsing Ron DeSantis, which of course they did, many endorse Trump as well, it's looking good. And of course, who's going after DeSantis? That would be the one George Soros. Activist group suing DeSantis received nearly $1.4 million from George Soros. So George Soros is suing DeSantis over the illegal immigration issue. And maybe it's because Ron DeSantis says stuff like this in clip 9.
I reject socialism outright. I reject... I reject Marxism, Leninism, communism, any of these isms that have come out of a political theory that basically denies the worth of each and every individual, denies people's aspirations to reach for the stars, denies the fact that we have inherent God-given rights.
That's it exactly, and it created the most prosperous nation on earth, rejecting that ideology, and now the communists are trying to destroy it again. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, something truly... I don't even really know how to classify it. It's sickening, it's depressing, it's evil. And the story just gets worse as we move through the news cycle this week, and that is the story of the 41-year-old Democrat who mowed down a young man and then said it was because he was a Republican extremist. Now, before I get into the latest developments in this story, let's just put the correct context and framing here. 2 weeks ago, Joe Biden declared that conservatives, Republicans, Trump supporters were extremists and the biggest threat to this country. And there have been numerous other similar warnings given from the FBI, the Democrat Party, and the mainstream media. Now, of course, it's been open season for violence on conservatives and Trump supporters since 2016, when thousands of individuals wearing Trump hats around the country, just out on their daily lives, having dinner, walking in the park, going to school, what have you, were attacked by radical liberals and leftists, or just other brainwashed minions of the leftist communist propaganda. And so we remember all that. We remember all that violence. We remember all the violence at Trump rallies. We remember the Democrats rioting at Trump's inauguration. And so it's been open season for violence on Trump supporters for a long time. We've had a Trump supporter shot and killed in Portland by Antifa. We had a Trump supporter shot and killed in Denver by a liberal. Four Trump supporters killed by police on January 6th. And all of this gets covered up by the media, and they don't make a big fuss of it because it goes against their official narrative, which is the big lie that Trump supporters are the violent extremist group, when, of course, it's historically documented that that's the Democrat Party, from the KKK to the Weather Underground to what they're engaged in now. So, Joe Biden says Republicans are extremists. 41-year-old goes out and runs down a young man and says, oh, he was a Republican extremist. He had to die. I was scared of him. Now, there are new details emerging here. What we know from the police report is that it was Brantz, the Democrat, that ran over the young boy. It was his own words that he said he ran him over because he was a Republican extremist. Now, as far as any more details upon what that means, we don't have any. In fact, the lack of details are causing the police to reach another conclusion, but I'll get to that in a second. And this is just the fact of the matter here from Mike Cernovich. Joe Biden is radicalizing an army of domestic terrorists, using them to commit acts of violence, including murder. Now, I've been warning about this for how long, folks? This has been one of my main warnings and issues on the War Room for the better part of the last 2 years. And Brandt, the Democrat, has already admitted to striking the pedestrian with his car because he called him a Republican extremist. And then also was guilty of a hit and run. Now, I don't know of any other hit and run situation where if you hit and run and kill somebody, you're released the next day. So, I mean, it's like We know the two-tiered system of justice. We know liberals can get away with anything these days. It's good to be a Democrat. But that's pretty incredible. A hit and run where you kill somebody and you're released the next day, $50,000 bond. Kyle Rittenhouse had a $2 million bond in an act of clear self-defense. But this guy gets a $50,000 bond in a hit and run, vehicular manslaughter situation? Something ain't right. Now, here is attorney Drew Wrigley's comments on the taking of Kyler Ellingson's life. The loss of a young life is always a tragedy under any circumstances. Outrageously, in this case, it is alleged that the suspect admitted that his actions were motivated by a dispute over political beliefs. There is no place in civil society for this hateful violence. I call on all North Dakotans to join me in praying for Kyler Ellingson and his family and condemning any and all politically motivated crime. I also call on Americans, including political leaders, to end this type of rhetoric. Political violence has become all too common and must come to an end. It goes on, but I'll stop right there. Now, have Democrats condemned any of the political violence that they've caused? No. In fact, they endorse it and fund it. Just check the 2020 riots all summer long. Or a Democrat that went out to try to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh that they didn't want to talk about. Democrats trying to kill Rand Paul multiple times that they won't condemn. And there's so many others, it's just like, I forget them all. So many others. A Democrat going to a Republican baseball practice to try to commit a mass murder. The list just goes on and on and on. A Democrat just tried to stab Lee Zeldin, a Republican running for governor in New York. And the Democrats have not condemned a single act of violence. No, they endorse it, they encourage it, and then they say that Trump supporters and Republicans are the extremists. But the police now, as the investigation goes on, have released new statements. And they're now saying there is no evidence that slain North Dakota teen was a Republican extremist. Now, what's odd about this, and there's still, the details are still murky, but the story goes that Brandt, the radical Democrat, chased down Ellingson, the young man, down into an alleyway. He had to chase him into an alleyway to run him over. Now, does that sound like somebody who's trying to get away from danger? Does that sound like somebody who's trying to flee a scene and not be involved in a political dispute? Does that sound like somebody who's trying to run from a threat? Or does that sound like a deranged maniac hunting somebody down in their vehicle? Again, the details are slowly emerging from this case. I think there's still more questions than answers, but the fact that he went into an alley to run this boy over, I think says a lot. But how could it be? No evidence that Kyler Ellingson was a Republican extremist? Well, of course not. But here's the question. Of course, Kyler Ellingson wasn't a Republican extremist. We know that. There are very few Republican extremists, if any, out there at all. I don't know a single one. I know plenty of liberal extremists. I deal with them every day.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, I don't know a liberal these days that isn't an extremist.
Walking around with your hands in the air, with their hands on their hips.
So,
trying to tell people what to do.
Was Kyler Ellingson even political at all? And why did Brandt feel the need to run him down and kill him in his vehicle and then leave the scene of the crime? Now, here's what I'm afraid of. Because we've seen the left do this in the past, and you have to understand their psychology is all the same. Could this be a situation where perhaps Brandt and Ellingson did have some sort of a confrontation, and Brandt was so upset about it, and he's already a deranged liberal, and so, as I've said dozens of times on the War Room, folks, these psychotic liberals are a snap away from a psychotic break. And so is that what happened to Brandt? Did he have that psychotic break and then chase a little kid down to kill him in an alleyway? and then thinking, what have I done here? I just ran a kid over in a car and probably killed him and fled the scene. How can I possibly get out of this? I know, I'll say he was a Republican extremist. Could that be the case here? Would that shock you? Now, we've seen similar things where liberals will be upset about the way something went, and so they'll just say, oh, somebody called me the N-word. Of course, there's no evidence of it. All parties and witnesses involved at the scene deny the N-word was ever used, but that individual says, I was called the N-word. And so this has happened with brutal beatings in public areas like malls and parks, where a black individual will brutally beat down somebody and it'll be charged with assault and battery, and they'll say, well, he called me the N-word. Except there's no evidence of that, no proof. Are we now living in a situation where you have these new abracadabra words? You get caught running over a kid in a car, you say, oh, he was a Republican extremist, charges get dropped. You get caught beating someone to death in the streets, you say, oh, he called me the N-word, charges get dropped. Boy, oh boy, I hope that's not what happened here, but it's starting to look like it.
Sounds like it.
What is the agenda there? Well, there's a few reasons. They want to frame their opposition as the bad guy, and they want to then have this victim mindset, this infinite victim mindset, where they're always the victim no matter what, because there's hate groups looking out there trying to get them. And so therefore, when they commit acts, criminal acts, violent acts, it's justified because they're the constant victims. You see, the victims can't be the criminals. And so it's a psychological game that they play. And we have dozens of these accounts of all the fake hate crimes. And it's always liberals doing it. Of course it is. They write the N-word on a bathroom in a school, turns out to be a black student. They spray paint the N-word onto a lawn at school, turns out to be a black person. Somebody goes out and kicks over a bunch of headstones at a Jewish cemetery, turns out to be a Jewish person. We all know about Jussie Smollett, Bubba Wallace, the rest of it. And so they've now reached the point in this psychological attack where they now want to be able to commit crimes and acts of violence without any repudiation, because they just say, hey, I'm the victim. That's a Republican extremist. That's a racist. Leo Terrell was breaking this down on Fox News last night, and everything he says in this clip is true.
The pedestrian with his car because he had a political argument with the pedestrian and believed the pedestrian was calling people to come get him. The North Dakota Highway Patrol is now saying that was not the case. There was no politics involved here that they have found with evidence. What do you think about this case? What have you learned about it?
Well, I'll tell you right now, this is where this driver, who, in my opinion, did commit vehicular manslaughter, he committed second-degree murder by running over this guy. He used a so-called MAGNA defense, saying that these guys were extremists on the right. And I'll tell you right now, Bill and Dana, Joe Biden got blood on his hand. He has been dividing this country, calling 75 million people ultra-MAGA extremists. And this person who's accused of this crime used that as an affirmative defense to run over someone and leave him there without rendering any help. This is what has happened with Joe Biden basically dividing this country by declaring 75 million Trump supporters supreme extremists and supremacists.
I'm going to show you how much media coverage this story got elsewhere. Leo, if everybody can take a look here. Guess what? Zilch, nada, zero.
Yeah.
And even if this excuse by Brandt turns out to be ridiculous and not true, you can imagine that if it had been the reverse, you would have seen a lot more coverage. Leo, last word to you.
Oh, Yeah, thank you, Dana. It's obvious. The left-wing media is basically providing cover for the Democratic Party's hatred towards half of this country. Their zero coverage on this issue is affirmative evidence that they are shielding the president on this issue where he has divided this country based on hate and trying to divide this country based on political affiliation. It is outrageous, and Matt Gilliland should basically face the full extent of the charges against him.
Thank you, Leo.
Good to see you. Yeah. Leo, thank you for getting up.
Thank you. Thank you.
You want to know what it's like living in an authoritarian regime? Folks, you're getting a taste of it right now under the Democrat Party. I mean, you're seeing it all. The rigged media. One side is allowed to cheat in elections and deny elections. The other side isn't. One side is allowed to engage in all kinds of extremism and violence, and the other side doesn't, and then gets accused of it. And now in court, Brandt at his bond hearing is basically, I don't believe he was coached on this. Maybe he's being genuine. He's basically pretending to be a complete idiot. Or he is. He might actually be, you know, mentally ill, completely mentally disturbed. I mean, it fits the bill. He's a liberal. So we know that that's a mental disorder. But in his bond hearing, he's basically saying he doesn't understand any of the charges. He doesn't understand fatality, hit and run, failing to render aid. He doesn't know what any of it means. Are they really about to let this guy off the hook? So I don't know how much more proof the people of this country and the world need to see that it's actually Democrats that are the party of violent extremists and have been since their founding out of the KKK. Into the Weather Underground, and now into what should we call the modern day Democrats? Commies, Nazis. Truly amazing stuff. Now, David Hogg, sadly, has turned into a puppet of the authoritarian regime and a puppet of the liberal ideology. And he made this statement this morning, and I find it to be completely hilarious that this statement was made and nobody understands the irony. I am happy to announce this weekend I will be receiving the Mahatma Gandhi Center National Nonviolence Award at James Madison University. The inaugural winner of this award was civil rights activist John Lewis. I'm incredibly humbled to be receiving it. Well, I got news for you, David. Disarming civilians is an act of violence.
Yep.
And every authoritarian that this planet saw in the 20th century, from Lenin to Stalin to Pol Pot to Nazi to the Nazis and Hitler, they were all left-wing ideologies, either communist or socialist, like you. And they all disarmed the civilians like what you want to do. So I find it disturbingly ironic that the very people celebrating their nonviolence are the most violent people we've ever seen in this country. And they want to disarm the population, which is indeed an act of violence. And if you don't believe that's the case, then tell me, are you planning on bringing guns to these disarmament events? Are you going to have guns to protect yourself? My guess is yes, it will. Because why? Because disarming civilians is an act of violence. And the fact that I have to explain this in the year 2022 is quite pathetic, actually. Really pathetic. But let's talk about Democrat violence. We've got plenty of it. In California, Los Angeles, Thousand Oaks Bakery hit by burglars. Just never stops in Los Angeles. And I told this story the other day, and it just keeps happening. I was thinking about going to take a trip to LA to visit some friends this weekend, and every person I talked to said, just do not come here. It's really that bad. And I'm looking at Airbnb reviews. You go look at Airbnb reviews, you go look at the most recent reviews in the LA area on Airbnb, every single one of them says, I got robbed, I got carjacked, I got stabbed. And it's a one-star review. Wow. Because that's how bad Los Angeles is under Democrat Party rule. Same thing in New York. New York City teen saved from stabbing outside school when knife breaks. So this young man gets out of school, goes to the local bus stop, which is a bus stop for three different schools, by the way. So he goes to the bus stop to go home. A gentleman just walks up to him, doesn't say a word, just walks up to him and tries to stab him right in the chest. But the blade on the knife fell off the handle, and so nothing pierced. Luckily, nothing happened to the young boy.